Hallelujah, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. I'm just picking up my sword. Amen. I trust you have brought one with you. If you're watching by television or listening by radio, or if you're driving a car, it'll be a little hard time. Maybe you have opportunity to pull over or doing something, but we trust to bring good news to you today. You're watching the Holy Ghost Fire Church. There's some people don't like the name Holy Ghost Fire Church, but that's their problem. I have a Bible, my Bible. We use a King James Bible at this church. Somebody said, well, why do you keep saying that? Because I want people to know if they want to have the right Bible, this church uses the King James Version because it is the most accurate version around. It's not. There are just two manuscripts. Actually, the King James has 613 manuscripts to draw from, and they're accurate. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, everybody. Father, we ask Thee to bless us, to watch over us. And Father, we ask Thee to open our heart, to open our mind, open our most inner being to receive the Word of God. Not only to receive the Word of God, but that we can hear from the Word of God, hear from God personally, and know that He is the One. Amen. Trying to get my little birdie dog here all set up. Amen. I was thinking this week, and I was thinking this week, that might shock some people, but I look at the parking lot sometimes, it's empty, and sometimes it has people in it. And I have sometimes we have people have parties and stuff across the day. They can come and park in the parking lot. And I go out and tell them they have to go across the street. They're going to have their party. You paying to go to the party. Enjoy yourself. So they get a little upset with me. But as I said once again, one of these is the Word of God. This morning, as I was looking at it, I was looking at, in my Bible, the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Somebody might say, well, you talk quite a bit about the third chapter. I talk about the first chapter, the second chapter, the 13th chapter, all the way clear back to chapter 22 in the book of Revelation, from one end of the book to the other. Some people say, well, the Old Testament has been fulfilled, it's done with, we don't have nothing to do with it anymore. How can you honestly sit down and look at a person and make that statement? When you can read the book of Isaiah and you'll find things going on in the book of Isaiah that is going on in the book of Revelation, because the Old Testament has given us a view of what's going to happen in the future. And that is a very strong thing for us to know what's going to happen. So if you turn on your news and you hear about wars and you hear about rumors of war, Jesus said this is not the end yet. Hello? Anybody show up this morning? Well, my Bible says in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginning, Eve has did the unpardonable sin. No, she has committed a sin that will plunge the whole human race into sin. And an enemy will march into the camp called death. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, have you ever drove down or passed a... Well, if you go to Manteca, driving down Union Street, you're going to drive right by a cemetery. If you go to Stockton, you're going to drive by a cemetery. If you go just a little ways up toward the Galt, no, French Camp, you're going to come by a Jewish cemetery. You go across I-5, you're going to have a Asian one. And a little further, you'll have a graveyard. They're all over the place. So why are they there? When scientists look at the human being and they say, we just cannot picture why. Somebody said, what are you looking for? I'm looking for this. I forgot to put it into the basket. You know what it is? It's a tithe envelope. Oh, yeah, I pay tithes. I give offerings. Because if you want to be blessed, church, and if you're not, you want to be blessed, you are to give to the Holy Ghost Fire Church. Amen. We have visions of doing things for God. The only thing sort of holds us up is you not giving any money to further the kingdom of God. Amen? I'll put it right there. Now, Eve had took the fruit, whatever it was. Bible doesn't say. Some people say because in the book of Psalms it said that Israel, the Jewish people, is the apple of God's eye. So they figured it had to be an apple. No, no, you don't have no idea. No idea what it was. But if you look in the third chapter, we're going to look at very verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, who said? The serpent. No, let's go back again. Hello. This is a different Bible. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, the serpent, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He posed a question. When people get questions posed to them about something, and you have to look at it, the serpent can talk. Now, there are several views or schools upon this. Some say that it was the devil, but the devil's not crawling around in the dirt. But he did use the serpent. Whether the serpent knew what he'd do, but we do know one thing from Scripture, he was wiser than anybody else, all the other animals around. And apparently Eve was not shocked when the snake talked to her. I was working in the wood pile just the other day, and I was stacking wood, and I was stacking from here to there, from here to there. And all of a sudden, I picked up a piece of wood, and there was a snake. It was a gopher snake, but it was a snake. And there's just something about snakes sort of runs creepy feelings up your back. And you think about it. You just don't really trust them. But I watched it, not going to reach down, and I was going to catch that snake and hold him up and look at him. Now, I knew he wasn't a rattlesnake. I knew he wasn't a poison snake. But before I could exactly reach him, he went back in the woodpile further. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't venture to go any further checking it out. So what did he say to the woman? Woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, if you notice the way the devil has pinned this down, and he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not. Now, you know that. Not. The best way to get people in trouble, just tell them not to do it. And the first thing they'll do it. Many years ago where I worked, they was in the lobby of the lounge room where the men did. They were painting some chairs. And they put a sign up on, do not touch. Now, I watched them paint the chairs. The guys came in, and the first thing they do, they sat down, tucked the thermos and opened it up and poured their coffee and eating their break lunch, and they looked over and they saw the chair sitting there. Some of them looked over the glasses and got up, walked all the way over there, and I watched them. They touched it. They said, it is wet. The sign said, do not touch wet paint. But as I sat there and watched, almost 85 to 90% of the people touched that chair. What was they told not to do? Come on. You're some smart people here. Well, I'll tell you what. They touch. Eve is going to correct the serpent. Sometimes somebody will come along and they just have false teaching. I call it false teaching. In the 70s, they were running around, you know, the Jesus movement. Somebody looked and said, in the 70s, this Jesus movement, you were a Jesus child. I said, yeah. They said, no, you can't be. You wasn't born in the 70s. And I said, neither was they, was not born in the 70s neither. It was born in 55, 41, 42, 43, up to 50. But they looked at me and they sort of thought for a moment and said, well, I guess you was. Yes, I did not smoke marijuana. Even though the state makes it legal now, I did not smoke it because it leads to harder drugs. As being a pastor, I know some people that marijuana just takes them further and further and further away. So they got thinking, they said, yeah, but did you go to San Francisco, Haight, Ashbury, all of them? No, I wasn't in what you call, I was a Jesus person, but I wasn't a Jesus people. I'm talking about the hippies, because I wasn't a hippie. I was married and I had a wife and two beautiful kids. I said beautiful kids. And I look at it and I give them rides and talk to them. Me and my wife would. And they would talk and go down. One day we were going someplace and a car came by, a Volkswagen. And he went like that. And I thought, what in the world that mean? Actually, what it meant, Jesus is coming, you know. The hippies all knew what it meant. I mean, when I go to work, at that time, houses would be rented by the Jesus people. They believed, practiced different things, and did different things. But you're always with a question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now you notice the phrase. He didn't say, oh, yeah, you will die. He said, you won't surely die. And you really don't know what that is. And really, how would Eve know what death was? There was no such thing as death at that time. But the devil, all the way through, question one question. What she did, what the devil did, he takes you and gets you drawn into a discussion. Now, you take the Jehovah Witnesses. They come around and they try to draw you in. They say, what do you think about prophecy? What do you think about the world? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? And one was knocking at the door one time, and I went to the door and he walked at me talking, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I worship Jehovah. He looked at me. What do you mean you? He didn't say it that way, but you could tell. I said, well, the Jehovah I worship, the Bible says that He created all the heavens, all the sun, all the moons, all the planets, and He created the earth. He created the angel. And the book says in the book of Philippians that Jesus, Paul said, that Jesus created everything for Him. They drawed back and they said, are you saying that Jesus is God? The book does. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the office is God. And the Bible said that Jesus created everything. And if you want to get technical about it, when you read the Lord Jehovah, God, He created man. So you have to ask your question in chapter 2 and verse 7, who is stooping in the ground? Jehovah God, the Lord God. Because the word Lord is Jehovah. Jesus referred to Himself as the Lord. Otherwise, He referred to Himself, He is Jehovah. He's the Son of God. And when you stop to think about it, there was no Jesus at the beginning. It was just the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So no matter how you try to get around it, and she succumbs, and she takes the fruit, she eats the fruit, probably either her husband with her or find her husband where someplace in the garden. If you're in the house, people get technical about it, but He gave it to her. Now, I want you to notice something. Eve had ate of that fruit. The thing that puzzled me more than anything in the midst of the garden is the tree of life. She should have ate of that afterwards, but she didn't. But the ideal is, why was she hanging around that tree? We always hang around things that we don't, or well, to put, that we're not supposed to be messing with it. My mother once told me, she made some cookies. I watched her. I helped stir, the dough and everything, and cooked it. And I never thought about it. My mother looked at me and she said this, Bill, don't you eat none of these cookies in this jar. Soon she walked out of the room, I opened the cookie jar and took a cookie and ate it. I didn't just eat one, I ate about three or four, five. I don't see how she ever could miss five little cookies in a big jar, but she did. And she had a method, and when my mother got through with her method, you didn't eat no more cookies out of the jar. There was a cottonwood tree outside the house. She'd go get one of these little limbs, you know, real little tiny thing, and go on my little legs. And brother, let me tell you, it hurt. It hurt bad. And I didn't get in the cookie jar anymore. Well, Eve, sort of put it, got in the cookie jar. And she wasn't supposed to get in that cookie jar. And there was consequence for doing what she did. But the point I want you to make out, Eve ate of that fruit. And she looked at herself and she said, I don't feel no difference. Maybe the serpent was right. I feel normal. I don't feel nothing bad or anything. And she finds Adam and says, here, look at here. Adam looks at it and says, well, you shouldn't eat that. You know, God told me to tell you not to eat of that. Talk to Adam. And the moment Adam ate of that fruit, death was here. They both knew one thing. The glory, that shredded Shanahana glory that then was gone. At that moment, they felt something else that they never have felt before. Separation from God. And when you have separation, that means when they come, God come walking in the cool of the day. They ran and hid among the trees. They sewed fig leaves together. However they did it, I don't know, but they did it. Adam, where are you? So, I want you to notice the thing here. Adam didn't go hunting for God. God was hunting for Adam. But Adam thought he was hid. Adam thought he was clear. But God knew where they was. He knew exactly where they was. He knew exactly what they did. And when the whole thing down through the thing. But the most important thing that God provided, He killed animals, clothed them, but blood was shed. And when you look here in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou had did this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all beasts of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, the plan of redemption that was created by the Godhead before there ever was a little world, before there ever was a heaven, before there ever was a sun, before there ever was a moon, because God knows from the front to the end. He knew man would fall. But He also made a remedy for it. A lot of people don't understand the remedy, and the remedy is very important. And it's right here in the 15th verse of chapter 3. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about the serpent. You can't. And that. The seed. What is the seed? Well, each seed, if I had some tomato seed or peach tree or every kind of seed, is the kind of seed it was. Before, the seed of the woman was not the words of life, not the seed of murder, not the seed of hate. But when she shall come, to the temptation of the devil, death came into the family. And the serpent pays a price for listening to the devil, Satan. And by paying that, then here it comes. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man." No, that's over here. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and between her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." When we look at that, that is a promise that God made to Adam and Eve, that redemption would come. I hear some people say, Adam and Eve will never make the pearly gates of heaven. I sort of disagree with the simple reason. God shed blood to cover their sin temporarily. And why would He do it temporarily? Because of this promise right here. This is the promise that I have, you have, everybody have. And we need to follow through with that promise. Amen. Now, when you're looking at things in your scripture, the promise, God is a good God. Why would God be so interested about rescuing the human race? Because we're made in the image of God. God, Jesus said, is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And we worship God. That's why when we come to the house of God, we lift our hand and we worship God. I can lift my hand in the house of God and I worship God because I can see where God picked me up and saved my soul. I couldn't save myself because I was sowed under sin because of my great, 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 great Adam. Everybody great, great is Adam and Eve. But I sat there on the back door of a little country church because I heard that just before from you. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot more because it wasn't a thing I could do to save myself. But you remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed. We look at it and say, well, what do you mean? Well, I want you to look for a few minutes in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians and chapter 4. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. A child. Mary had a baby boy called Jesus. She never knew a man. God put His word inside of her, and the word is Jesus. And that was a child. But he grew up, probably not noticed too much around, but is under tutors, under governor, and until the appointed time appointed of the Father. That's a father. That's, you say, God, Elohim, God, Jehovah Jireh, Adonai, God, the head of the Trinity, God, the Father, said it was time for him to start to move. Now, remember the first incident was? The boy was 12 years old. Joseph and Mary, they all went to the feast. You heard me. They all went to the feast, and on the way home, they couldn't find him. They found him back, talking to the priests, talking to the Pharisees and stuff, and the doctors of the law. And they was amazed because here they had a 12-year-old boy I said, a 12-year-old boy that knew so much and they couldn't figure out. And when he turned 30 years old, it came a time the boy at 12 became basically a man. 30 years old, he was at the age to be a priest, but he couldn't because he wasn't of the Levite tribe. But he was the seed that Eve was told that would come and be born. He is the one, I said, he is the one that's going to operate and save the world. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, that elements of the world, what was it? Satan. So we're under Satan control. We're following him because, as some people say, high treason. Well, high treason, I don't care what you call it, is sin. S-I-N. Every boy and girl that is born in sin. There's no good people about it at all. But when the fullness of the time was come. Now, God lives outside of time. We live in time. So God became a man. That means he lived in the boundary of time. That means Jesus grew to be 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, under tutors. Well, who was the tutor? Well, probably his mother, probably his stepfather, probably the priests and stuff that was in the synagogues, not the temple, the synagogue, and all of them. The fullness of time came, then God sent forth his son, that birth made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So by me accepting Jesus Christ that night, or when you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because God the Father called you because it was time. Everybody has a time. Everybody has them talking to them. No matter who you are, sooner or later you have a place in your life that you think about God. The fullness of time. What do you do about girls and boys that are, you know, I mean, hey, they can't be adopted, son. Why can't they? They're part of the body of Christ. Hello? I mean, what does your body consist of? One, it consists of a hand. Consists of fingers, consists of part of the hand. They're part of the wrist. The Jewish people consider that part of the hand. You have the arms a part of the hand. And they're all called ankles. Then you have the lungs. Then you have the kidneys. Then you have the internal organs and stuff. But they all, when you look at them, you don't say, well, there goes Bill, there goes Karen, there goes Joe, there goes John. In the fullness of time, God operated. Why? Because we were so under sin. The devil held us in bondage, and we're going to pay the price. Now we'll go back again. And verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Now, when it says the Spirit of his Son, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. When you talk about the Spirit of God, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. All three make one. So now that I am an adopted son and you are adopted son, and if you're a woman, you're an adopted son because you're part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. He and God is the head of Christ. I am underneath Christ, my head of my wife, my family. But that's for, and when we go and we pray, we cry to Abba Father to God for our accomplished that we may learn more about the Father. We cry, Abba Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Now, how am I going to become an heir of God? Through Christ. Christ paid the sin debt. You see, in order to pay the sin debt, Christ had to be perfect. There was no blemishes in him, like the animals and stuff they went through for sacrifice. They checked for blemishes and stuff. And when the priest had him there for 3 days and stuff, holding trial, he was technically being examined. And there was no defects in him. They couldn't find nobody to have false accusations that would hold up. Because in the fullness of time, that came. Through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did not serve unto them which by nature, let me read it. Ye did serve unto them which by nature, here it comes, are not God. I never did. Do you have to be there to watch American? Was Elvis Presley your God? Was Mick Jagger your God? Was the Beatles your God? Some people gods are their houses. Some people gods are their children. They don't want to have anything to do with God. By nature, they serve in everything, moving around, trees, birds. I worked at a college for about 30 years almost. And you talk about professors that get a bunch of college kids. I never could figure out why you won't spend $50,000, $40,000 to send your kid to a college that some lady is going to go out and put a bunch of rocks in a circle and then have you dance around a rock. I call that paganism. They're only supposed to do that way down in South America or Africa or someplace like that. You're not supposed to do it there. So I have a God. So I did have a God before the Lord saved my soul. It was money. And I didn't have very much of it either. But everybody, God is money. Old joke says that why they took the buffalo nickel off. People are squeezing it so hard, it comes. But this world things, they tell you, it's your job. If you had a new car, if you had a better house, if you have a better job. Now, once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He is your Lord, God is your God, and the Holy Spirit lives within inside of you to help you out in this life. Once the Lord saved my soul, my wife was saved. We lived what you call below poverty at the time. Dollar a quarter an hour. Dollar was actually a dollar. Then it got the whole dollar, got it to a whole dollar and a quarter. No way I could afford to buy a car, but yet made a way. I bought the car. Didn't have no money. And God provided a way. Somebody paid that car for me. Once you get into the family of God and you do what God wants, God will bless you. Most people, the reason God doesn't bless them is because they'll go to church for 4 or 5 months, maybe a year, and just drop out. They say, well, it doesn't work. Of course not. I talked to a man. He's always had trouble. And I asked him a question. I said, do you pay your tithes? Well, I'll tell you. I got to pay my lights. I got to pay my rent. I got to pay this. I got to pay my bills. I got to buy groceries. And if I have anything left over, I'll give God a little bit. That's not paying your tithes. God is first. He's not second. He's not third. He's not fourth. Some of you tip a waitress more than you do God. Woo! We don't like that. So you want to be blessed of God? In the process of time, God sent His Son by a woman, birth, that I could have salvation. But for me to get salvation, the Son had to do something. There's a cross behind me. He had to go to a cross. He had to pay the sin debt in the fullness of time, right in the middle of history. People today say, whoa, I don't know about it. Everything's too bad. Listen, my friend, if you listen to the news with missiles and fires and stuff, the end is closer than you think. This is why God sent His Son to die on a cross. I put it this way. If I'd been the only person on the world, 8 billion people, they're just saying, this is just a scenario. 8 billion people on the world. And God sent His Son to die just for me. And I said, yes. Somebody said, God's not fair. All the other billions of people are going to go to hell. They all have a choice. I had a choice for 22 years. I had a choice, but I didn't do it until the Spirit. And God convicts everybody. I talk to people that have been deacons in churches and stuff that I no longer go into church. And they look and they say, well, you know, Jim, but just a bunch of hypocrites in church. And I said, no, the hypocrite left when you did. I didn't say that, but I thought it. But God wants to bless each and every one of you. And you watching by internet, television, or listen to radio, God wants to bless you. Why don't you sow a seed into the Holy Ghost Fire Church? You're watching it. Hello. Have the television turn off into that. People get upset. Well, I'll tell you what. In the process of time, the promise came, and His name is Jesus. John put it this way in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No ands, no ifs. Was, is God. He is God. I'd like us tonight, this morning, to bow our heads and ask God to come into our heart right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Convicts the people. In Jesus' name, amen.